bless your name. Thank you for how good you've been to us.
Amen.
May none of us leave the same. Amen. Bless us indeed and speak not only the letter but the spirit. For your word says that the letter killeth, that the spirit giveth life. Your word says, O Lord Jesus, in John 6:63, that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that you speak unto us, they are spirit and they are life. We bless you for the spirit and the life of God coming into our lives and making us more like Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm sure many of us will know that we just started our month of evangelism. Hallelujah. July is our month of evangelism, and we usually dress down so that we can go out after church to witness to people, because imagine you're wearing your suit. It's also done. Wearing your suit, your tie, and you are speaking to someone who is dressed wretched, in a wretched way, or just anyhow. Hallelujah. So we just dress down, and then we can do something for Jesus. Praise God. Or something for Jesus, or one of the things we can do for Jesus is to win the lost. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say it to just the apostles or those standing there. If that's the case, then we are missing out on a lot of blessings, if it is just for the apostles, but it is for everyone. If you read, let's go to the Great Commission. I want to show you something, and then we will continue with our series and conclude today. So Matthew chapter what? 28. We can start from verse what? 14? Okay, let's start from 14. And if this come to the governor, okay, continue. Okay, let's go to 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, this word power is authority. All authority or power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, or always, even unto the end of the world. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Let's start from verse 12. Let's keep going. 12, 13. I want to start at a certain point. Yes, keep going. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these are the signs. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Does this apply to you? You can sure bet the Great Commission, which was before that, applies to you and I. What do you think? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That has been done in history. People have drunk deadly things and it has not affected them. Not intentionally anyway, that's tempting God. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That one is all over the place. Amen. They shall take up... Okay. Did we finish verse 18? Okay. So these are things that apply to us. So the Great Commission also applies to us. What do you think? We can't take one section and say it applies to us and another we don't. Look at Mark 7:7. another nice scripture that applies to us. Continue. We're going to verse 10. Okay, no. continue. So, continue. But ye say, if a man... Sorry, Matthew 7:7. I'm just showing us some verses and then we'll get to our message. I have not started yet. Hallelujah. Just to explain, yeah, good. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How many does it apply to? It applies to all of us. But we read, don't forget that it was what we read in Mark, the Great Commission, and these signs shall follow them. So what I'm trying to say is that if we really want to do well, we have to take the whole Bible and what God is telling us and not exclude certain portions of the Bible for us and certain portions of the Bible for others. If the Great Commission is only for pastors, then Mark 7 is only for pastors. If the Great Commission is only for pastors, then it means that these signs shall follow them that believe. It can't be so. It's for everyone. Hallelujah. The Bible is for everyone. Anytime it's referring to pastors, it says, and this I write to you elders of the church. How many are hearing what I'm talking about? So ask and it shall be given you. It's all for us. In the same way, the Great Commission is for us. So I want to encourage you this month of evangelism, not just to go on evangelism in the group, but sometimes when you go to the filling station, then you go to a store, they can easily walk you out. The security guard can escort you out. Hallelujah. But if you are in a filling station and you give the person behind the till a tract, they can't walk you out. You can just say something to them. Someone you meet, Jesus loves you, give them a tract. So you can find small ways of fulfilling the Great Commission, because it is something God is going to ask us. When we meet him, he's going to ask us whether we fulfilled the Great Commission. Can I have an amen? And you can do it not only in a group, but in your individual lives. You see a friend. God will always present opportunities for you and I to tell someone about Jesus. For example, someone can ask you, how was your weekend? Someone asks you, how is your weekend? Or how do you get over stress? Because they see that no matter what is happening at work, no matter what is happening in your life, you are still calm, whilst most people are stressed. It's Jesus who you can't be fired for that. That one is an easy lawsuit for the company. You ask me a question. What causes you not to be stressed? Jesus causes me not to be stressed. Then you can have a dialogue. Hallelujah. Amen. How did you spend your weekend? I spent it in church. Oh, really? In church? So there are many ways we can fulfill the Great Commission and also during outreach. But always remember that whatever Jesus said we should do, he's going to require us to have done it. Can I have an amen? So let's conclude with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and some of the effects of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just read our key text. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Bible is saying, Jesus is saying that when he goes, he will pray God the Father, and they will send another comforter, an alos, another of the same kind. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is another of the same kind. He's also God, another, an alos. Alos is the same kind. Heteros is a different kind, another of a different kind. Alos is another of the same kind. So Jesus is saying that I will send you an alos comforter, another comforter of the same kind. Can I have an amen? Now the word comforter is the Greek word parakletos, which means the one who has been called alongside to help us. Hallelujah. And this word comforter, in other versions, it says helper. In other versions, it says advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, That same word advocate in 1 John 2:1 is the same word comforter here. 1 John 2:1, Jesus, Apostle John, through the Holy Ghost, said, "These things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate." That word advocate is the same word comforter. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Can I have an amen? So it means that the Holy Spirit on earth, some of his functions, he has many functions on earth. When you and I become born again Christians, what does it mean? It means that the Holy Spirit takes our heart of stone, removes it, and puts in a heart of flesh. Can I have an amen? Another thing the Holy Spirit does is, for you and I to become Christians, the Holy Spirit takes us and baptizes us into Christ, or takes the person who is now becoming a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? The Holy Spirit takes us and puts us into Christ, and we become a part of the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then this is the experience of salvation. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can I have an amen? So the Holy Spirit comes and lives in the person, and the person becomes a born-again Christian, and then baptizes them into Christ, or actually baptizes them into Christ and lives in them. And then there are subsequent experiences with the Holy Spirit after salvation, which is being filled with the Holy Ghost or being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, or being baptized or endued with power from on high. Can I have an amen? Now, what are some of the things the Holy Spirit is to us? He's our advocate or lawyer or counselor. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our advocate, our lawyer, our helper. Hallelujah. He's our helper. He's our ever-present help in our time of need. He will help us in everything. What do we need help on? He will help us in it. Even when you read or you pray the grace, it's actually an indication of what the Holy Spirit will do with us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the fellowship, the participation, that is amplified. Can you get it for us? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, the contribution, the participation of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, be with us. So it means that we are supposed to have communion with the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to have participation where there's a dialogue, communication, there's help, there is a relationship. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. No, that would be Corinthians. Hallelujah. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you do? Go to Google and type grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Just go to Google, type it, enter. You got it. Thank God for at least those are some of the things we can benefit with in technology, or we can use technology to benefit. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 13:14. In the Amplified, very good. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together, and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Look at King James. It's the King James we quote. But King James Amplified is the same thing. It's just amplifying it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. So this gives us a glimpse of what you and I are supposed to be doing with the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be relating with the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be communicating with Him. There should be participation, dialogue. There should be fellowship. There should be communion. That is what you and I are supposed to be having with the Holy Spirit. He is our ever-present help. When we need help, when we need strength, whatever we need, He is there to help us. Can I have an amen? Amen? So he's our advocate. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our strengthener. Look at Ephesians 3:16-17. He's our strengthener. He gives us strength. Am I preaching to somebody here? Yes. He gives us strength. He's our ever-present help. That he may grant you, or he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Now think about that. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. What does it mean? It means that the Holy Spirit will strengthen your spirit. That's all it means. It means that the Holy Spirit gives our spirit strength. Hallelujah. Look at Jude 20. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So it means that the Holy Ghost, we build ourselves up. We strengthen ourselves by the Holy Spirit. Building up yourselves. You are built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. Tongues is one of the things that the devil really tries to fight against. Meanwhile, it's so clear in the Bible that tongues is for you and I. We read it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Some people think it's new languages, languages in different cultures, different languages spoken on earth. That's included, but that is just for one or two signs. But it is to speak and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He is our counselor. The Holy Spirit counsels us. Do you need counsel? I need counsel. Do you need counsel? The Holy Spirit will give you counsel. Hallelujah. He is our counselor. He is our counselor. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. That gives us a very good example of direction. Do you need direction? Who needs direction from God? Okay. There's a very nice way to get direction from God. Hallelujah. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So it means that Apostle Paul, before he became Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And he was either a prophet or a teacher or both. He was not yet an apostle at that time, because in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, was listed as one of the prophets or teachers. So he was. There are people who are both prophets or teachers. Like our Bishop Dakiwood Mills is, God has anointed him to be all the fivefold ministry: prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, apostle. Yes. So Apostle Paul could have been a prophet and a teacher, or a prophet or a teacher. Can I have an amen? Barnabas could have been a prophet or a teacher, or a prophet and a teacher, and the rest. Now, what's the next verse? And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, that word minister to the Lord, look at other versions, is as they worshiped God, as they praised him, as they praised and magnified him. Yeah, while they were worshiping the Lord. Now go back to King James. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So in the midst of ministering to the Lord, in the midst of fasting and worshiping God, the Holy Ghost spoke. Many people have heard from God, or the Holy Ghost speak to them as they are worshiping God. So usually when I'm worshiping, I have a paper and pen ready. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Ghost told them, give them an instruction. In the same way, if you and I are looking for instructions, we can get it from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirits. Where is your spirit? In the belly area, out of the innermost being, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Our spirit is in our belly area. I don't mean the sack, that pouch, the stomach pouch, but the belly area. Can I have an amen? Amen. That is where the Holy Spirit resides in our spirit, and the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirits.
Because the Holy Spirit is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are vessels the Holy Spirit is living in. And we are living in this vessel. You and I, Augustus' name is Augustus, but the name Augustus does not belong to this body, but that's what we see. It belongs to the Spirit. Hallelujah. So you and I must see that the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirits, and sometimes he openly speaks to us. So now, the Holy Ghost told them to separate Barnabas and Paul for a special work, which now takes them away from being prophets and teachers. And what does the next verse say? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's why Barnabas and Paul, Saul of Tarsus, became Apostle Barnabas and Apostle Paul. It was at this meeting. So that is another thing that you and I must see. That if we want to be directed by the Holy Spirit, we want God to speak to us, we must fellowship with him. Fellowship meaning you speak, I speak. You commune, I commune. We're relating with each other. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then, John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17 and 26. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Okay, we read this. What does 26 say? But the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Some people use this verse to stand for exams. But what does Jesus say here? Whatsoever I have said unto you. So if the exam includes what he said to you, then you got it. But you can use many verses in the Bible for exams. Am I preaching to somebody? It's written clearly that the Holy Ghost will remind us. But the Holy Ghost will also remind us about exams. But when you are quoting it, Jesus meant something here. So use the verse applicably. This verse means that there are times that you will need to have an answer, not only for somebody, but for yourself. When you are going through something and you need a scripture, oh God, what should I do? Then the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what the Bible is saying. What Jesus said is what the Bible is saying. Or you are speaking with someone and they are asking you a question and you don't know how you are able to come up with the scriptures and the information, but it starts to come out. That is what this verse is saying. John 16, 13 to 15. But you can ask the Holy Spirit, oh Father God, by your Holy Spirit, remind me of what I studied, because you are my helper. You are my counselor. You are my ever-present help in my time of need. And I need your help, oh God, to remind me of what I studied. You got it. You're applying the scriptures appropriately. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So this verse means that anytime I'm reading, watching a program or pastor or whoever it is, and everything is spirit, everything is Holy Spirit, I don't hear the name Jesus, I change the channel. Because even Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's not going to talk about himself. But we need to learn about him. But he's not going to be talking about himself. He's going to be talking about Jesus. He's going to be talking, he's going to get what Jesus wants to tell us, and he will tell us what Jesus wants us to hear. He will take of Christ and show it to us. He is God, but he will not glorify himself, but he will glorify Christ to us. What do you think? Am I preaching to somebody here?
Now, just quickly, what are some of the other benefits of the Holy Spirit? Look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. Your shoulder is, you can carry a lot of heavy things on your shoulder or shoulders. Hallelujah. Amen. If you try it on your head, it will be a problem. Hallelujah. When you see people carrying caskets, how do they carry it? The shoulders. If you like, put it on your head. It will not be as simple. Especially the very heavy ones. What do you think? Yeah. So your shoulder is where a lot of your weight or the weight goes. And his yoke from off thy neck. Your neck controls your head and where to look. So what the Bible is saying is that there is a certain burden that people carry. And the burden is so heavy that it's put on the shoulders by the devil. A burden, trouble, sorrows, difficulties, a heavy burden. And it's weighing you down. And it's being put at this, your place of strength, the place that you can use to carry many things. Instead of carrying the yoke of Christ, the devil will put a very heavy burden on people so that they are weighed down and there's nothing, no stronger place to place any yoke. And then his yoke from off thy neck, the yoke controls you. The yoke of bondage controls you. There are many people who want to stop drugs, but can't stop because there's a yoke that is directing them to it. There's a yoke that is directing people to sexual immorality. There's a yoke that is directing people to gambling, to drugs, so many problems. Cigarettes, difficulties. There are yokes that direct people. Sometimes they direct people to their death. There are many people who have a yoke, and that yoke is a family yoke that kills and destroys family members. I know someone I was working with, he goes to the gym, exercises on a regular basis, and his younger brother, older brother, was someone very fit. But because when they get to a certain age, we are talking about an Italian, not an African, Italian. When they get to a certain age, he was jogging, fell down, that was the end. Because it's been happening to their members. When I say, bah, you understand? Oh, there's something. Teh. Fall down. Yoke. The Kennedys. It was a generational case, a yoke. Directed them, entered the plane. And so on and so forth. Killing people. And that yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing or the Holy Spirit. The yoke shall be destroyed. Whatever directs you to the wrong place, whatever directs you to negativity, whatever directs you to defeat, that thing will be destroyed by the anointing, because of the anointing. I said because of the anointing. Hallelujah. So you and I must believe it. The anointing protects us. Now, shepherds have a certain chemical, like oil, that they rub on the sheep. They rub on the sheep, the body of the sheep, so that ticks and certain animals will not affect them. Hallelujah. There's someone I work with whose dog, they went to the park and ticks that can give Lyme disease, ticks were attached to the dog. So they got some cream to put on the dog. But many shepherds have certain creams that they put, or oil that they put on the sheep, to prevent termite animals and poisonous things from attaching themselves and sucking the blood of the sheep. In the same way, when we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, it is a covering. It is like an oil that delivers us, that prevents demons and problems and troubles from sticking. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That is what the anointing does. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. The next thing the Holy Spirit does, look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The Holy Spirit gives us skill, knowledge, and understanding and wisdom. Yeah. When you communicate to the Holy Spirit, you seek guidance from the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Because we read, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship. What does it mean? Is it just a prayer we should just pray like a nursery rhyme routine? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now forevermore. Amen. Is that what the Bible meant? No. It means that Apostle Paul was praying for the church at Corinth. His second letter, he was writing to them that he prays that, oh, my people, I pray that the grace of God, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his grace and the love that God has for us will be with us. And I pray that that fellowship you can have with the Holy Spirit, that communion, that coming together, that participation that you can have or that I have with the Holy Spirit, I pray you will have it. That's the grace. That's what the grace means. Hallelujah. That's actually what the grace means. So if you and I are able to get that information, it will do something wonderful for us. The Bible says that if any of you, James chapter 1 verse 6, 7, 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? I'm talking about wisdom, skill, understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 6, 11, verse 1. What does verse 2 say? Yeah, Isaiah 11, chapter verse 2. Good. Let's start from 1. Going from 1 to 3. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, what are the results? What comes about? What results as a matter of the Spirit of God coming? The Spirit of wisdom, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, or you see, this is talking about what came upon Jesus Christ as he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and what will come upon us because we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Just about all problems on earth will be solved by wisdom. And the Bible is saying the Spirit of wisdom will come upon him. The Spirit of and understanding. The Spirit of counsel. He's our counselor. And might. And the Spirit of might, as the Holy Spirit strengthens our spirit by his Spirit. You remember that our spirit will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of what? Quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. It gives us skill, gives us wisdom, gives us understanding, gives us knowledge. And this knowledge and wisdom is what Daniel, God gave to Daniel, that caused Daniel to excel in everything. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Daniel excelled. Daniel was great in three regimes. He was an old man under the Persian Empire. Fantastic. I mean,
It's not possible to find someone in this situation. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And realize that the Persian Empire was not just in the Medes and the Persians or Iran, Iraq. It had conquered a great portion of the world. Of course, the Greek was even more. Romans took over the world, just about. And over these three presidents, so there were 120 princes, and three presidents governed the 120 princes. And over these three princes, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, so 120 princes and three presidents over the 120 princes, of whom Daniel was first. So 120 princes being directed by three presidents, and Daniel was number one out of the three presidents. That the princes might give account unto them, and the kingdom should have no damage. So this is Daniel's third government appointment. His first was with Nebuchadnezzar, when he was able to interpret his dream. Daniel was second to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Babylonian, very strong empire, very strong man, someone who controlled, he didn't control a lot of the world, but he controlled a portion, and he did it very well. How many are getting what I'm saying? He was a very strong, fierce man, and Daniel was second in command. And then Belshazzar was his grandson, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, and Daniel was made second in command for a short time, but nevertheless made second in command. He was made second in command when there was a writing on the wall. And then Daniel told them that I will interpret the writing. You have been found wanting. You have taken the vessels. You've done wrong. Now the Medes and the Persians are coming and they are going to take over. Now think about it. If someone is second in command in a government and the Medes and the Persians climb the wall, kill Belshazzar, kill the officials, are they going to make the second in command in their regime? No. But because of the skill and the wisdom God gave Daniel, he was made second in command in the Medo-Persian Empire. You can't beat that. That's because of that skill. And this was a secular appointment. In the same way, our jobs, our school, the things we do, God will put us on top because of the Holy Spirit. Yes, if you believe it. In the same way Daniel was made second in command, you would be, don't forget, second in command apart from the king. So until you are CEO, you'll be second in command, meaning that you'll be the chief whatever. Actually, the CEO is not even the leader of the company. It's the stock of the shareholders. May you be a CEO. Amen. Oh, yeah. Why should it be unbelievers and Christians? They don't. Why? It's too big for Christians. When the blessings of Abraham are ours. I said, I see CEOs here if they believe it. If you believe it. Yeah. May some sitting here become chief executive officers. Amen. Those are second in command. Because of the skill, the wisdom God gives. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. All that comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, let's just desire the Holy Spirit. Let's desire Jesus Christ. Let's get closer to Jesus Christ. Let's know who our Lord is. He is our one in all. He is our all in all. He is our everything. And the closer you are to the Holy Spirit, the closer you are to Jesus, because he will point you directly to Jesus. I see God blessing you. I see God promoting you. I see God giving you wisdom, skill, understanding. It will be so valuable that the people you work with, the people around will seek for you. They would seek so hard for you. I need this person in my team. I must have this person. Look, at all costs, whatever it costs, bring this person to my team. I need them on my team. Why? Because they see God in you. They see something they don't have. They see skill, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Amen. God bless you. Shall we stand to our feet? Let's speak to the Lord and ask the Lord to give us more grace. Just speak to Him. Ask Him to bless your heart. To bless your heart. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. The author of my faith, casting aside every sin in every way. I fix my eyes on you. I lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away. One thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in holy place. Fix my eyes. I fix my eyes on you. I lift up my faith, casting aside every sin and every way. I fix my eyes on you. Lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away. One thing I ask, this one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. One thing I ask, this one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. Father God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Now, if you are here this afternoon and you are not born again, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me.
pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. If you are here like that, please lift your hands high up and I'll pray with you. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want salvation. Father God, we bless and thank you for how good you've been to us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.